Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ryan in the gun, Davis to his right, snap to Ryan, he's looking to throw. Pressure up the middle, very good defense there. Davis, who gets out of 4 tackles and scores a touchdown. A 7-yard touchdown pass from Matt Ryan to Mike Davis. They had him trapped at the 10, he spun out of 3 tacklers' arms.
That play was the worst play of the game for the defense. Missed tackle. Diving missed tackle, paint, touchdown, celebrate, you just scored. And at least it was Mike Davis.
You know, Mike Davis.
No wiggle, no juice.
Just a plodding fat zilch.
No elusiveness.
He stinks.
Running through tackles. Grant and Danny Victory Monday, presented by Chenega Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com. You can view open positions and apply today. 34-30, thanks to Taylor Heinicke, Terry McLaurin, who, if you missed him at 4 o'clock, was on our show today and was fantastic. Thanks to Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissick in this offense. By the way, the Washington football team offense right now, this second, through 4 games, almost one quarter of the season down, ranks 10th in yards per play.
How about it?
A top 10 offense in the league.
Top 10 offense, everybody.
Right now. They're averaging over 25 points per game. If I would have told you before the start of this season, through 4 games, Washington's offense will rank 10th in yards per play and will be averaging over 25 points per game, are they 3-1 or 4-0?
And that's the only data you gave me. I would have said, when we get our ratings bonuses for all the playoff games that are coming and they win 2 and are going to the conference championship game, they'll probably be favored. Let's enjoy the ride. They're going 12-5. That's what I would have told you.
Tip your cap to Scott Turner. Tip your cap to Heinicke. I'll tell you what the big thing for this offense has been. There aren't many negative plays in the passing game. They don't take sacks. Heinicke deserves a lot of credit, but their offensive line does not get enough credit.
You're right.
Their pass protection has been tremendous. This is somewhat a quarterback stat, but it is also an O-line and a pass pro stat. They're allowing the third fewest sacks in the National Football League right now. Nobody's really talking about this front. And after week 1, we were nervous about Cosmi on the outside. So I'll raise my hand and say, Ron Rivera, I'll chalk up a dub for you so far.
Yes, sir. You're right.
You move on from Moses. Cosmi's been really good, or pretty good, I'd say, but good enough. Left side, new left tackle, Charles Leno. It's been a success story. Now, they lost Brandon Scherff. We'll see how this gets complicated in the next couple of weeks. They'll plug in Wes Schweitzer. An attrition rate could be coming here. But the bottom line is, they're a top 10 offense. You can't sack the quarterback. And they're scoring 25 points per game. I'd have to look it up, but I promise you they haven't scored that many points per game since, I would think, like Gibbs 1.0. This is what we said. We said, just improve. Be middle of the pack. be 16-20 in offense. That would be an amazing accomplishment. They're 10th in yards per play right now. They're humming on offense. They're moving the rock. Look at their possessions yesterday. After their first two drives, 7-play 77-yard touchdown, 7-play 56-yard touchdown, and then 14-play 73 yards for a field goal. In their final six drives of the game, I'm not going to count the end of half where they just came out and took a knee. That's not fair to them. So in their last 6 drives of the game, they scored 3 touchdowns and settled for a field goal. They went 76, 75, 73, 77, and 56 yards in those drives.
Legit. I'm telling you. I keep going to this point. They've had really good offensive games against two bad defenses. And that sounds like I'm taking away from it. I'm not. You have to be above a certain level to do that. The offense last year played bad defenses too, and they had these anemic rock fights, and they would win the game, and we'd be like, whew, that's that. They couldn't have won these two games like against the Giants and against the Falcons with last year's offense. They could not have with Haskins, with Allen, with Alex Smith, whatever. They would not have won them. The fact that they can do this means that you're good enough to take advantage of the bad. That's a vast improvement over last year.
The other story we've been tracking today in Ashburn, a lot of you just getting out of the office and jumping in your car for the first time. You know, it wouldn't quite be a Victory Monday around here if there wasn't an awkward step backwards somewhere as well. Federal law enforcement, including the DEA, conducted a raid at the Washington football team practice facility. And this was a story we broke exclusively here on The Fan. The team has placed head trainer Ryan Vermilion on administrative leave. He was the subject of the investigation, according to what we've been told. There's an ongoing criminal investigation that the team says is unrelated to the actual club, even though the team facility was raided and things were taken, as well as his house having been raided, as we found out. He lived in the One Loudoun area. Friday afternoon around close of business, DEA agent seen leaving his home. Ron Rivera today would not address this with reporters. He just said that the team issued a statement. They sent us that statement when we said that we were reporting this. And what they said was, Ryan Vermilion has been placed on administrative leave due to an ongoing criminal investigation that is unrelated to the team. Now, what I've gathered is he is on paid administrative leave. I would assume the team is not allowed to fire him or to put him on leave without paying him because he hasn't been charged with anything. And because it's an ongoing investigation. So you could get in big, big trouble if you fire him or put him on leave and don't pay him. And then he just walks back into the facility in 2 weeks and the investigation didn't net anything. But generally, something that takes months like this, that involves federal agencies, they're not doing it for no reason. Speaking of it taking months, I talked to at least one player who was interviewed by an agent, as he put it, in the March-April timeframe, asking a lot of questions about Vermilion and his practices and things that were going on within the organization and his handling of medications and things like that. So this is a really big, potentially
significant,
crazy story. One of those things, when I first heard it, I kind of dismissed. Then you notice he's not at the game on Sunday. He's always at the game. Didn't miss games when he was in Carolina. But we talk so much about culture. We talk so much about how things have changed and how much better things are. Ron Rivera gets upset when anyone asks about the past and says, judge us on right now today. Judge us on the future moving forward. He's been saying that since last year. This is a guy who was with him in Carolina for years, who he brought with him to D.C., who he references in almost every press conference during the season. Now, he won't be anymore, and they'll distance themselves, I'm sure. But if we're talking about culture and operation and doing things the right way and how much things have changed, this is a shot against that, I would say.
I mean, and obviously you can't necessarily draw any relation to this, but with the backdrop of the Los Angeles Angels drug investigation that's going on with what's alleged there and the death of Tyler Skaggs a couple years ago and again, what's kind of going on there, obviously these are not related things. It's not like an East Coast, West Coast sort of chapter of the same thing. But there's a crackdown here, and there's illicit substances that, you know, could be there, easily misused prescription drugs or, you know, painkillers or things that these guys go through. It's easy to allow your mind to wander. Again, I'm not accusing anybody. I have no idea of anything. I just know what you and JP have reported here. But again, this is always my point. When a guy, if a guy's just a head coach, he just coaches the football players that come through that door, you ask him about football stuff. When you are in charge of everything, all of the things, and you replace everybody from Kyle Smith to the old training staff, and now Inova isn't your medical provider anymore, that's all on you, dude. The new one better be better. And this is what happened. So questions need to be answered here in short order.
Let's go back to the phones we go. You guys want to weigh in on this game. Kevin's been waiting in Arlington. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, brothers. Well, let's first remember it is Victory Monday, and my goodness, Terry and, of course, Taylor and, of course, McKissick and others, God bless them. I have so many points to make. Let me just make a couple. First, I know Ryan Vermilier's brother. I know the family, and I just, my prayers out to them. Grant, I will follow up with you more on that. Second, Dre's point. The last five games, including the Tampa game of last season, this defense allowed over 100 yards rushing, okay? It has seeped into this season. And the irony is, my God, they had, unlike the COVID year, they had OTAs that Chase didn't come to. They had, you know, everything to lead up to the season, and
here
we are.
Do you think at the OTAs, that's when they did the drill where the quarterback's about to throw it and you learn how to tackle him rather than elbow him?
The forearm shiver drill, yeah.
I love it. I love it. So, you know, my biggest point about where we're at four games in, thankfully somehow we're 500. Let's go back to Ron's presser the day he was announced as a coach, January 6th, not this year. We all know about January 6th this year. I'm talking 2020. This is what he said. We need 11 guys doing one thing at a time, not one guy trying to do all 11. This is what is on the Washington Football Team website from the press release. Rivera said his players will grow tired of this saying, but he believes it bears repeating. The mantra revolves around discipline, which Rivera said will be at the center of everything this franchise does. Every player will have a specific job outlined by the coaching staff, and his ability to execute that responsibility as instructed will be imperative, Rivera explained. And so if the players fail at doing what Rivera taught them, then he will take the blame. But if the players fail trying to do too much, that falls on them. As long as the players do what the coaching staff asks, Rivera ensures success will be theirs. Well, there's been no success. There's been an incredible regression. And at some point, the media has got to press him. The honeymoon's over. What is it, Ron? Is it you all aren't getting through to them? Or is it the players themselves are freelancing? And I think he has sort of said through the immaturity remarks that they've been freelancing.
Yeah, Kevin, I think he has, in his own words, said that. And you just kind of hit on it. Yeah. I think, you know, when he references immaturity, I think he even linked that to one of the plays or a couple things that happened last week when he was asked about Chase or the specifics of the defense. I think he's saying this is not a coaching thing. You had a quote last week that you went to a couple of times, if you remember, from Rivera about it was like a scheme versus players point, where you kind of you did like the Scooby-Doo, where that was an actual quote.
I'm trying to remember which one it was. Yeah,
I think Michael Phillips tweeted it. Do you remember?
I don't remember specifics. I'll see if I can find it. Yeah,
but that was the first time it was kind of a Rivera taking a side in that regard.
Which is basically, again, did you pick immature players? Or are you not helping to mature them? Which is it?
But he also, you picked the staff.
Yeah.
Most of these guys, by the way, coached with you for years in Carolina. The position guys, for sure. The D-line coach, Sam Mills. I mean, Jack Del Rio and he are just, I would think, buddies from their playing days or what have you. They didn't coach together in the past. But Del Rio's got a track record of having a lot of success. He had a lot of success here last year. Did he forget how to coach? I just don't think, when I watch this team, to me, it's two things. Number one, I don't think they have upper echelon personnel. They have a really good defensive line from a where you got drafted and how good you are in everybody's mind standpoint. All those guys aren't playing that way, though. Chase Young has zero sacks. There's probably 15 guys in the league who have multi-sack games by now. It's not all about sacks. That's not the end-all, be-all. But to have been on the field for a few hundred reps, you don't have a single sack right now, that's revealing. So it doesn't matter any, like, the talent, this guy, he's drafted second. Yeah, they got the defensive front, they got some world beaters, you would think. But if you're not playing like it, who cares? The linebacking core, you don't have world beaters. You want to talk about where guys came from? We crowned the defensive line because of that. Well, here's where the linebackers came from. You got Cole Holcomb, who was drafted in the fifth round, who makes a lot of tackles, and I like how hard he plays. He was drafted in the fifth round. You got John Bostic, who was available, and you were able to bring in here after another team said no thank you. You got Jamin Davis, who's been a massive disappointment as a first-round pick. They got other guys who are mostly special teamers that play a little bit on defense. We talked about the secondary. They paid William Jackson $14 million. The people we had on in Cincinnati said, yeah, I don't really get that one.
yeah, they're like, yeah, not so much.
I mean, we thought he was talented, but wow, we're shocked by this. Maybe they know something we don't. I mean, so far, it just doesn't look like he's a $14 million guy. He's fine. He's a decent enough player. And I don't even like singling any of these guys out. Like, William Jackson's done nothing wrong. But my point is,
It was my same thing with Josh Norman when he came. I'm sorry there's huge expectations.
Right.
You just signed a contract that will change every Norman for the next 500 years of his life.
And I do.
Please play excellent.
I feel bad when I single certain guys out because I don't think that, like, William Jackson is not playing badly. I think he had a game he might want back. He's been fine. But my point is, name one player on this defense who has been outstanding this year. I'll wait. I think John Allen.
John Allen, I would say, has been their best.
Really good for the most part. I didn't notice him once in the Bills game. Theron Payne was unbelievable in that game. Maybe John Allen was getting some extra attention. Like, has one guy on this defense, just circuit to circuit, had four awesome games? I'd like to ask Ron Rivera that, or Jack Del Rio. I don't think so. And that kind, therein lies kind of the issue.
Yeah.
Scott's in Silver Spring. What's up, Scott?
What's up, Scott?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing, man?
Good, man.
First, I agree with Danny. I'll take a W anywhere I can get it. We haven't been good enough in a long, long time to worry about how we win. So I'll take the win. With regard to the defense, I mean, and this is obvious, the secondary has to get better. But I think they won't look so bad once the front starts getting home a little bit. But one thing I wanted to ask you guys with regard, you know, a lot of, like, you know, they were getting rid of the ball quick yesterday. But I recall last year, you know, in these short dropbacks, we were getting our hands up.
All the time.
We had our hands in the passing lanes. And I remember more than a couple interceptions that happened off batted passes that, you know, were deflected and went short in the secondary and we got the interception. And I can't recall one batted pass this year yet.
So they've got one that I think they've been credited to. Should be two at least. But I said that last week. I don't know where those are. And I know there have been a lot of bits of quick game. That's certainly a recipe. That's the league, by the way. Everybody does quick game. But not all of them are quick game. The Cordell Patterson long touchdown pass over the top of everybody wasn't quick game. Third and 13s aren't quick game. There have been opportunities, and this group hasn't done a very good job. I understand you can't get there when the ball's out in 1-1000 and it's already gone. That's a secondary thing. That's a linebacker thing. That's a coverage thing. I get that. You got to take some of those things away, and they're not doing that. They're not playing good team defense. But individually, I'm sorry Moore is asked. Great power, great responsibility. You know how the quote goes, right? Your first round draft pick, or your, you know, the second highest paid guy on the team, in Jonathan Allen's case, you absolutely have to dominate these football games because of the way their resources are allocated. If you're not doing that, it's glaring.
So the really good news for this week is that the Saints offense is bad. So far, I've been wrong about Jameis Winston. He's been as inconsistent as normal. He has a good game, he has a bad game, he has a good game, he has a bad game. But they're 28th in football. Now you'd say, okay, you're playing the 28th best offense. That's a really good thing for your defense. They just played the 28th best offense last week.
Yeah.
Atlanta. You know what happened was Atlanta now moved up the rankings 4 spots. So if you don't take advantage of that, it doesn't matter a whole lot. But that's a good thing. A week after that, they play Kansas City. They play Patrick Mahomes, who threw for 5 touchdowns yesterday.
They had a little get right themselves there, Kansas City did.
The number one offense in the league in yards per play. You got Tampa coming up. Might not be raining that day when you're playing Tom Brady. Struggled last night in the rain. You got Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to Lambeau Field to sit with the fans in the stands at one of the great venues in this country to watch a game at Lambeau.
How you doing, Grant Paulson? I've got the over. How you doing? I'm Grant Paulson. I got the over. Grant says to his neighbors.
Pretty much. I mean, that game, unless something dramatic changes,
yeah.
How are they going to get off the field?
I don't know. I don't know.
If you can't slow down the Giants and the Falcons, what's Patrick Mahomes going to do? Now, they are 2-2, which is where I had them through four before the season.
Yes.
So I could just pretend like I haven't watched any football and wake up tomorrow and go, they're 2-2 like they should be.
I called it, I told you.
But this is just not what we thought. And they have not played a single game that will be good enough to beat the Chiefs or the Packers or the Bucks or maybe the Saints or the Broncos.
Or Carolina or the Raiders.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. You can hit us up. We want to hear your thoughts after a 34-30 win in Atlanta yesterday.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Heinicke in the gun, McKissick to his left. Three wide receivers right. They're going to throw here. Heinicke's got time. Now slides to his left. Looks at the 35. Back across the middle of the field at McKissick at the 30. Turns to the 25. Has the corner of the 20. 15, 10, 5. Dive for the end zone. Touchdown. Where's the call? Make a call, referees.
Like, man.
Well, you got a few guys on the field saying it's in.
Touchdown. Touchdown, Washington.
J.D. McKissick, put the boys on your back. Just a forgotten man. Slept on, casually, like a Casper mattress. Let's play. I want to play a little guessing game.
All right.
I want you to guess who I am.
Let's see. Grant's asleep. He's got his hands folded in a nice little sort of like comfy prayer thing. You are, I'm going to say you're Washington football team fans on J.D. McKissick.
Ah, you're right.
Hey!
You're right. You got it.
I was like, is it us? Is he everyone at large? Yeah.
Fans of this team. Antonio Gibson this. Jarrett Patterson that. What about Peyton Barber though? J.D. McKissick. Nobody ever talked about him all preseason. Now, he missed minicamp or OTAs, or not like Chase Young did, because he didn't want to be there, but because he actually had an obligation where, like, Ron Rivera said it was a personal matter he was dealing with. Not that he was too good at football and just didn't want to be around his teammates.
Well, Chase Young personally was filming commercials or Family Feud.
That's a good point.
Like, he was personally doing stuff.
He did personally have a good reason to miss. It was just that he had other priorities that were more important than being a football player at the time. Having said that, because he wasn't around, I think people slept on him a little bit. And just like he was out of sight, out of mind. And then at camp, he was just out there doing things. And other guys were flashier, maybe. I don't know. And then in the preseason, You knew he was going to make the roster, so you don't have to really showcase him.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't talked about
this guy.
The two wins this year. He had that 56-yard catch on the two-play drive with the throw to Ricky Seals-Jones the next play that set up the go-ahead drive win touchdown euphoria FedEx Field. You remember? You remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
That was a McKissick show. And then yesterday, it's either he doesn't make a nice little over-the-shoulder grab there on that beautiful play by Heinicke to extend everything. He doesn't go get a touchdown, or it's a Dustin Hopkins field goal for the win. And maybe Hop drills it, and he needs it, and we're all talking about how he bounced back today. But I'm glad I didn't have to find out.
We didn't have to find out.
After he'd missed a couple of extra points. J.D. McKissick, dude, undervalued. All he did last year was catch 80 passes.
80 passes, man.
He had the highest reception total by a back out of the backfield for the Washington football team since Larry Centers back in 2000.
Larry Centers, people.
Larry Centers was so good.
Larry Centers was great.
All right, now let's play another game.
All right, here we go.
I want you to guess who I am right now.
Okay, here we go. Grant is... He's asleep again. How does he... All right.
He looks so comfortable.
I'm coughing while
Oh, you woke up. You okay, buddy?
Hold on.
Okay,
Don't wake me up.
He's asleep again, so he's a care. Think you are the Washington football team fan base on Larry Centers.
Yes! You are so good at
this game. I literally wasn't sure of that one. I was like, is it me on Larry Centers?
Darius, how good is he at this game?
Well,
so good.
Well, Darius, I thought he was just doing me sleeping on Larry Centers, and I actually one time assigned Larry Centers 20-some extra catches that he didn't actually get because I was like, dude, Larry Centers caught 100 balls. He didn't really, but I said that he did, and I was going to be like, that's not true. I don't sleep on Larry Centers, but I think you were doing everybody there.
I got one more impression.
Oh, crap.
And I want you to tell me who I am.
I've been on fire if I get it wrong.
I know, but this one's going to be a little bit tougher.
Okay, here we go.
All right?
Here
we are.
Yep.
Darius, you guys can play too if you want. Anybody?
Hands on buzzers.
Let me cough first so I don't wake up in the middle of the night.
Sure.
I would hate to wake up in the middle of the night while I'm sleeping.
Similar to the first two characters. He's dreaming about something. See his eyes moving there?
Yeah.
He's smiling?
It's less of like a praying hand, more of like a double enclosed fist that he's laying on.
Very deep sleep. Very deep.
I think Grant is the fan base sleeping on how good he is at impressions.
No.
That's
not that one.
That was good,
that's
though.
That's good.
Damn.
Darius, you got anything?
I'm going to go with you are us sleeping on, I don't know. I give up.
You have no guess.
I have no guess. I have no file.
Ryan, what do you want to say?
I think you are the fan base sleeping on DeAndre Carter as a weapon.
Wow, that's a good guess.
That is a good one.
Really? I was actually Chase Young sleeping on getting sacks.
Oh!
Chase Young sleeping on getting sacks.
Damn
it!
Let's
go to Tonic in Waldorf. Tonic, you are on Grant and Danny. What's up?
You're not having
any. Hey, how's it going, fellas? Love the show.
Appreciate you, dude.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Before I get into our team, let me just go ahead and congratulate Danny on that Hall of Fame induction.
Hey, now.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
It's a Hall of Famer in our midst.
Couple Hall of Famers in this room, Tonic. Couple Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. Yeah, so shout out to Grant also. So I got a lot of things, but I'm gonna clip them real short. So I know Ron Rivera is always looking for Swiss Army knife people. I don't know if you met Cordell Patterson yet. He should know him by now. You also started the segment with you were saying how the offensive line was doing pretty good and avoiding sacks. You also had a lot of McKissick replays, but McKissick also had one of those tremendous pickup blocks on a blitz.
Oh, it was amazing. Huge play.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Huge play.
Early in the game, backside of Heinicke comes across the formation to kind of save the day on a deep shot. You're right. That was a very good point.
Yeah. So I'm not going to concentrate on anybody else right now but the defense, and I'm not going to call out any specific names, but I think it's a trickle-down effect. So I think our ends are way too far upfield. That's creating the run lanes because they showed a clip of San Francisco's Bosa later that night, and I'm sure Bosa and Chase went to the same school, and Bosa only takes two steps. He's reading the backfield, not the tackle. And I think Chase and maybe and Sweat are both reading the tackle, trying to beat him to the outside instead of reading the play. They're creating lanes. That's how you get Matt Ryan running up the middle for 14 yards on 3rd and 10.
That's
God, that was annoying.
That was very frustrating.
Great call, buddy.
I'm not going to pretend to be smart enough on technique sure. as a pass rusher in this league. What should Chase Young be doing different, Montez Sweat? I don't know. It's not my job to know. I could tell you when it's not working. I'm good enough at that. It's not. I also know that it's not cohesive right now. I'm not saying it's Chase Young's fault or Montez Sweat's fault or Payne or Al. I just know all four of them and whoever else is rushing at any given moment are not on the same page enough. If one guy's doing something and the guy next to him is doing something else, it's very rarely helping the other one get closer to the quarterback. Problematic. It was good to see some games run where guys were looping under each other because that speaks to some cohesion and having a plan and rushing together.
Well, the sack that they did get, and again, by the way, Matt Ryan sacked one time. Oh my God, everyone should be so upset.
Some of that's quick game, but I'll look up the numbers to see where he ranked yesterday, as a matter of fact, and how fast he got the ball out.
You know, he's scrambling out of trouble. He's scrambling for first downs. I need him hit 10,000 more times, whatever. The one sack they did get, Montez Sweat got it, but it was because Ryan couldn't go anywhere. It looked like one of those, I don't know, good NFL defensive line moments, right? Where everybody impacted or beat their guy to a certain degree, and then Sweat was there and was able to take him to the ground. You can't escape when everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. And when you hear coaches talk about rush lanes, that's what that meant. That didn't happen very often, it seems like. There was always somewhere for Matt Ryan to go, whether it was step up, step to the side, escape in trouble. I just can't have that with this front four.
Matt Ryan, just looking up via Next Gen Stats, time to throw yesterday. Not as high on the list as I would have thought. So 2.56 seconds from snap to pass, tied for 8th fastest at getting the ball out. 7 guys got the ball out faster. So my eyeballs told me the right thing, which was that they quick-gamed him. But Big Ben, Pat Mahomes, Teddy Bridgewater, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, Mac Jones, Russell Wilson all got the ball out a little bit faster than Matt Ryan did yesterday. But he was still 8th in the league. So they didn't want to take their chances holding the ball against this front with their O-line. Kevin, Locust Grove, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Good.
Good. Say a quick nod to you guys, first of all, about calling out the fact earlier this season, maybe even before the season started, about the fact that these guys, the Washington football team, is now playing a much better, tougher schedule because of their ranking last year of being NFC East champs. And I think that's kind of shown up with this defense, maybe explaining where they really are as opposed to where everybody thought they were, possibly. The other thing is, this is a story that goes way back. I had a supply house would send their sales guy in to my office every once a week. And he showed up one day with this a tall black gentleman, very physically built. And he introduced himself. I believe it was Monty Coleman, I believe. But it was definitely one of the Redskin linebackers at the time. And he came in every week with this fellow for about a month or so, and then he wasn't coming in anymore. I asked the salesman, Johnny, what happened to him? And he said, well, Joe Gibbs decided that football was a full-time job and that everybody needed to be lifting weights, working out, and all this other stuff during the off season. Well, my problem with that, my issue there is the fact that we hear about Chase Young doing all these commercials and stuff and sending videotapes of his workouts to Ron Rivera. And now halfway through the first quarter, these guys are gassed, especially Chase Young. All right, now I know this guy's fast, and maybe he's chasing a lot, but still, he's gassed. He's too young, too strong to be gassed halfway through the first quarter of a football game.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks, bud. I don't know if he gets gassed faster than anybody. And, shtick aside, I don't think I am not a guy that gets mad when a player is at a, I see them at a game. Like, they have lives. They work at work, and they live when they go away. When they go home, they have fun. They should. I don't have a problem if a dude wants to go out or go to a club or, non-COVID times, kick it with a bunch of people. Like, that's life. You're 22 or 23. I don't think the reason that he's struggling is because he's in commercials or he was on Family Feud. I don't think that at all. But when you don't come to OTAs and when you're everywhere I look in every commercial, I'm seeing you, but then I'm waiting to see you during the game. It just adds to the frustration a little bit.
And that's all that is. Yeah.
It's just a little bit more annoying when there's a lot of non-football credit going your way, but I just keep waiting for the big play. And then you get the chance to go tackle Matt Ryan, and you go by and you just throw an elbow at him. Now, you shouldn't have been penalized. That was absurd. And you should have gotten a sack because his knee hit the ground. But instead, they threw a flag, which was a dumb flag. And I wish you would have just tackled him like a football player does when a quarterback's near them.
Just do normal things.
800-636-1067 is the number. Yesterday was a win. Not for everybody. A happy win, I guess. I think I feel better about it than a lot of people do because it's hard to win, especially when you're down in the fourth quarter. We can get back into Heinicke, by the way. Both of their dubs, he leads them on game-winning drives. Something he did a dozen times in college. Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Heinicke, McKissick to his right, play action. Falcons break five, Heinicke slides to his left, throws back to the middle of the field. Has DeAndre Carter at the 45, tackled at the 48. First down Washington, clock running, 1:30 to go in the game.
Have yourself a day, DeAndre Carter. 101-yard kick return, gets some work at wide receiver, gets targeted, nice catch, middle of the field. Moves the sticks on a big drive in the fourth quarter. Grant and Danny, it's a victory Monday presented by Janiga Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. Pretty sure, let's see, Heinicke played against Carolina, and they had a drive at the end to try to tie or win the game. Tampa Bay, that was not the case, so one out of two there. And then this year, Chargers, did they have the ball with a chance to tie at the end of the game or win?
I don't think so, because remember, the Chargers converted that third a million.
Didn't they when Gibson fumbled at the 3-yard line, though? Second half of the game?
Even so, they did. Remember, they decided to punt and trust the defense get the ball back. And then the defense, gave up like 4 third downs on that final drive of the game.
Why'd they do that, do you think? Why didn't they stop? Why didn't they want to stop them?
Probably because Chase didn't come to OTAs. I don't know, though.
No, it's probably not that. But that is funny. I like that you're in on the act.
That's fun.
Just throwing a haymaker.
That's fun.
That was a 2016 game. You're right. So it was a 4-point game, and they punted. I don't remember. My point is, I'm trying to make the case for how many times has Heinicke had the ball now with a chance to go win. I'm pretty sure in almost every game he's played in, they've essentially needed this guy who they called when he was on someone's couch to go win them a football game. And he's done it twice this season. He's done it against the Giants, and he did it against Atlanta. Stephon's in D.C. What's up, Stephon?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Good, man.
So my issue with this team and with the defense is just the passiveness of their schemes, of their techniques, and that's where I feel you have to blame the coaches. You know, just like with the gentleman who called earlier, talking about Bosa, the Bosa brothers, and how they play compared to how Chase is playing this year. Well, look at both Chase and Montez. They're both doing the same thing. So that tells me that's something that's being coached. And when you have a scheme that's depicted on your D-line getting pressure and you're letting everyone play off and all the offenses are going to 3-step drop, then you're going to keep getting killed. Our linebackers can't cover in zone. I've seen people blindfolded attack pinatas better than our linebackers can attack wide receivers in zone. We're going to keep getting what we get until Ron and Del Rio change what they're doing.
Stephon knows I'm a sucker for a good analogy. He just hooked me with one right little there.
Blindfolded pinata. More success.
There.
I like it.
That's why I like. That's why I was a big Ludacris guy growing up. Ludacris had the best analogies. He had the best comps or little similes, you know, comparisons like an ass. He knew what he was doing, and so did that caller there. He knows I'm a sucker for a good analogy. Deshaun in Woodbridge. The Texans, I don't know what they're doing with you, bro. Are you ever going to play again in Houston?
Fellas.
What's up, man?
Yay. Hey, look, check this out, man. We already know one thing that has been established. Allen already had made a comment about them having issues with Mills and Del Rio about technique. That's already been established, so I don't know why we keep
talking about. Hold on real quick. Where did he say that? Someone else referenced this recently, and I've never heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, because they say that what was happening was they were kind of in there with Mills, and Mills was, I guess it's Mills or Del Rio, one of the two. It was their technique.
No, but do you know where? I want to find that. Where did he say that? Or where did you hear that?
And look, this was earlier. And I'm trying to figure out, man. I've been looking for it all day. But I remember watching it. It was on TV. It was one of our broadcast situations. And this was somebody who said they were there.
Interesting. We're up against the clock, so I hate to cut you off, but we're going to be late otherwise. He's the second person to call in and reference this John Allen comment about a difference between him and the coaches on technique in the last couple of weeks. I don't remember that.
I don't either.
But if someone sees it or knows about it, hit me up or send it to me at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. You're listening to The Fan. Let's take one more deep dive into some of what we may have forgotten. Turn our attention back over to the offense and some of the guys that deserve an attaboy from yesterday's win next. You're listening to The Fan. Washington's 2-2, but they're about to level up with the schedule. Victory Monday, Grant and Danny on The Fan. We are presented by Chiniga Mayos. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. Here's the road ahead for Washington. The Saints at home. The Chiefs at home. The Packers at Lambeau Field. The Broncos in Mile High in Denver. The Bucks at home. That is your next five games on the slate. Denver did get exposed a little bit yesterday. Lost Bridgewater at halftime of that game with an injury. But they're 3-1. That's the soft spot. Defending champions, NFC Championship game Packers, AFC Championship game in Super Bowl, team the last couple years, the Chiefs, and the Saints. Now, New Orleans, that looks more winnable than it did. Honestly, a month ago, that's a game you can't probably win, and it looks like you chalk up an L when you're playing the Saints if you're Washington. The Giants beat them in overtime. Daniel Jones threw for 400 yards. That is a winnable football game, but you're still leveling up from Atlanta. You're leveling up from the Giants, the two teams you've beaten, and I would say they have not played a single game yet. Like, I know they haven't played a game yet they can beat the Chiefs, the Packers, the Broncos, the Bucks. I don't think they've played a game yet that could beat the Saints. Maybe if the Saints lay an egg like they have in a couple games this year, but if the Saints are playing well at FedEx this weekend, they haven't played a game yet on all phases that would beat New Orleans.
No, and I'm just thinking about this. Do you buy what I'm selling here? I don't think they'll be favored in a game again until Philadelphia in December on the 19th. I think they'll be the underdog in every game they go into. Now, again, maybe something happens. Maybe a starting quarterback or an entire team gets COVID and has to miss or something.
If the Carolina game was at home, I could maybe see them favored if Carolina slides completely. Completely different team yesterday without McCaffrey and J.C. Horn. Cowboys demolished them. Darnold rushed for a couple of touchdowns, but they struggled to keep that game close.
Early spread this week at the moment is Saints by a point and a half. So, maybe it gets bet to Washington, but you would think the Saints would be favored in that game, despite their loss. I know they're 2-2, both teams are, but
yeah.
Saints have a bit more of an impressive
resume.
If
I had to put money on it, I would not put money on them being a favorite until December 19th. And that's not even a lock. I mean, it might even be when the Eagles come here in January.
Sure.
Because if you're on the road in Philly, that's probably a toss-up game. It's in the division. The Eagles have been about what Washington's been so far this season.
That's a good point.
So it could be week 17 of the 18-week season.
And I guess that's why I bring it up, is to say, like, this matters. I mean, this is why, before we saw this four-game sample where you're cringing every time the defense is on the field, and the way that we got here, before the season started, before we knew that Carolina was maybe ahead of the process a little bit, before we knew that the Raiders were no joke, I'm going, I don't know how they get through this and get to where everybody seems to think they're going to go. All the bullish fans who are telling you that they've arrived and this is it, they'll repeat as division champs, et cetera, just maybe assuming the division would be as bad as it was last year, which is almost no possible way. You're not just going to go 5-1 in the division again. But looking at it, I didn't understand how we could be that excited knowing that this stretch of 5 or 6 or maybe even 7 games was going to go. How do you end up at a good place without winning roughly half of those games? How do you not end up at a 6, 7, 8 win plateau knowing that that's right there without doing something that I don't know is even possible? I know I'm kind of going in circles here just about this stretch. This is as difficult a schedule stretch as I can remember.
So you're right. And I, if we want to get into that, we definitely can. I don't mean this flippantly, but I guess it doesn't really matter. You know, that you play one of these at a time.
You're right.
I hate to sound like a coach.
No, no, you are. But it's valid.
And who knows? It's about who you play, it's about when you play a team, not who you play. Mm-hmm. So they could play Kansas City without Patrick Mahomes for all we know.
Right.
Coming off a win. Like, hypothetically, they could beat the Saints, who have been terrible in two of their games now. And then they could be playing a Chiefs team without Patrick Mahomes, and they could go into that game all of a sudden favored by 2 points. Next week. It's a weird league, and you never know who's healthy and who isn't.
Sure.
You do now have some hope about this New Orleans game, I would say, just based on the Giants beating them in overtime and the inconsistencies of Winston in that offense. The other thing that gives you a little bit of hope, when you can move the ball and you can score points in this league, you're going to be in games. And right now, the Taylor Heinicke experience is moving the football. And they're scoring points. 10th in offense, 25 points per game. You're going to hang around. You're not out of games. You'd have to give up 40 points a week right now to be out of games, basically. Because they're scoring almost 30 every time you look up.
No, I expect some of those numbers to calm down a bit as they start to play better teams.
Okay, but if you say that, then you have to say that the defensive numbers probably calm down a bit, too.
But I don't think... that way.
Because the competition defensively,
they've bad offenses have had their way. Good offenses have had their way. Everybody's had their way. Everybody gets a turn on this defense. Offensively, there are going to be some opportunities. The Chiefs' defense is wretched. This offense is now good enough to play in a shootout with the Chiefs. Not to win the game, but to play in a shootout
with
them.
And this is my point. Kansas City's not going to stop this offense.
Right.
Look at the Eagles. Mm-hmm. The Eagles, they had a big game on offense. They scored 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Chiefs obviously won. They scored 42. Mahomes threw 5 touchdowns. Something like that will probably happen.
Yeah.
But last year, they couldn't score 30 points on the Chiefs.
They couldn't do that.
They weren't going to gain 450. And right now, McLaurin's balling. You got Gibson and McKissick as a legit tandem out of the backfield. We've only seen them scratch the surface with Samuel. But 75% of their third down conversions yesterday came on throws to that guy after a few days of practice. They've got a little something going with this offense now where you can dream a little bit about just being in these games.
And the thing that I like the most about what's happening right now with their offense isn't plan A. Plan A that Scott Turner concocted last year, that was all they were getting to. Kyle Allen, I guess, had one scramble in a game for a touchdown before he got himself hurt. But for the most part, if plan A didn't work, you were punting. Tressway was going to get a workout. You've got a plan B now with Heinicke who can scramble and make some plays. Not necessarily the first downs, but keeping plays alive. Again, the ones I point to aren't necessarily when he's running for 4 yards or 5 yards or sliding this, that, and the other thing. That's just kind of whatever. But to me, it's the you keep the play alive and you end up making a throw to get the ball to your playmaker. That J.D. McKissick first down, not the touchdown, that first down that just goes hidden and nobody ever remembers when Heinicke escapes trouble, pocket breaks down, he gets out, McKissick works towards him, flip it to McKissick, short of the first down marker. He spins off a tackle, dives for a first down. Massive play in the game. Those are the kinds of things that they didn't have last year. There was no plan B with their offense, with all the immobile guys they had and the Jags that were taking snaps. That's the exciting part to me.
The other exciting thing I think about the offense, specific to Heinicke, is we're probably a month, maybe 6 weeks away from this, but if he continues to play at this level, it is possible that he could play his way into the conversation for next year very legitimately.
Oh, absolutely.
And if he does that, making what he makes, it would be a wonderful thing for this team to not have to go spend and address quarterback. Now, for the record, I'm probably going to be screaming all offseason that they need to address quarterback because I'd like to go get, you know, someone like a Derek Carr or somebody like that if they become available that you bring in here who's proven. But you extrapolate out Heinicke's totals. Essentially, we're talking about a pace right now where he would throw 32 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 4,000-ish yards. Like, Kirk Cousins kind of numbers here. The difference being people like him because they weren't initially wrong about him.
Yeah.
He didn't take the job from Robert Griffin, so everyone won't hate his guts. That's about the only difference. But, I mean, you're talking about, like, that type of production that they have not had here
since Cousins left, yeah.
Let's go to JT in Virginia on Grant and Danny. What's up, JT? How are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, dude.
Hey, couple points. Hear me out. First of all, the offense is giving you plenty. In the NFL, they're giving you enough. Here's my opinion on the defensive line. Everybody's, in my opinion, being too hard on them. I'm going to tell you why. Most coordinators in this league done figured out if we can get the ball out quick, their defensive line can't get to you. Now, if you look at the better defensive lines in this league, let's take the Rams, for instance. What are their cornerbacks doing to these receivers? They're jamming them. Last time I checked, you could still hit a receiver before 5 yards. But we're lining up 6 to 7 yards, so that when the ball's coming out in 2.5 seconds on quick passes, they don't walk down the field. It's just like a running game. So how can you blame the defensive line for not getting there when the ball's coming out so fast? Because your secondary, your corners are not jamming these receivers and stopping them from getting open really, really fast. It makes no sense. So it goes both ways. The secondary has got to help the defensive line as much as the defensive line has got to help the secondary. So you got to slow them off the ball so the ball can't come out as quick, making the quarterback hold the ball. Then I believe you'll see a big change.
I love that, and I think that's 100% true. Here's my flip of that, though. When the coverage is there, that D-line isn't. When it's 3rd and 13, as Grant has talked about, 3rd and 16 against the Chargers, the 3rd and longs, the comfort. Think of the first 3rd down that Buffalo had, okay, against Washington, their opening drive. They're backed up. It is a 3rd and long, and Josh Allen has never been more comfortable in his entire life. He was on his favorite Lazy Boy recliner, both beverages in the holsters, had all the snacks that he wanted, surveyed the field, surveyed it again, checked his watch, got his vitals down because he was able to have a breathing exercise and was 1 minute on his Apple Watch, and he drilled a pass 20 yards down the football field. That ain't a coverage thing. That's a pressure thing. So you're right. The caller's right. I need more aggressiveness to take some things away when you know the scouting report about you is that is quick game stuff is going to be what people major in. My point is, when as much as invested it is in that defensive front plus a linebacker, 5 first-round picks and a huge boatload of money, when it's money time, that's 3rd and long, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, and above, you got to disrupt the play. And they're not doing that. They're not doing that anywhere near enough.
All right, let's go back through just some of the things maybe over the course of the day that get left, slip between the cracks a little bit, that maybe we didn't talk about as much as we'd like. First and foremost, Dustin Hopkins missing the 2 extra points. So in your 2 wins, you had him miss the potential game-winning field goal. He got another shot because the Giants were offsides, although I don't know if they were offsides in actuality. The call was that they were offsides. So awesome. You get another try. He hits it. He gets to play hero for the week, but easily could have been the GOAT in that game. Not like the Brady grid
of all
time.
Not like the good kind. GOAT.
And then yesterday, they're down by 2 points with 3:53 to play in a game in which he's missed 2 extra points. Again.
Oh, my God.
This team is not at a level where they can leave points on the field. Rivera was asked today, and I'm paraphrasing. You tell me if you remember more of his answer than this. But he pretty much said, that's our kicker. That's what I know about that. And it was like on to the next question.
Yeah, that's what he said. Oh, okay. I'm fine, I guess.
So it's his guy. He's riding with him. We had Terry McLaurin on the show, and I loved the answer from Terry. He's like, that's my dude. That's my teammate. We got confidence in him. We're going to keep rocking with Dustin Hopkins. But I asked you a question before the start of the season that I'm going to ask you again right now.
Mm-hmm.
I asked you before the season if in week 1, Hopkins is lining up for a 46-yard field goal at the horn, how do you feel about him swinging that leg to win that game? And you said you didn't feel good.
No, I didn't feel good.
Fast forward a quarter of the season later, you feel worse, I would say.
Yeah, I feel worse.
He's missed The same number of extra points as he missed all of last year. And he missed that field goal to try to win the game against the Giants.
Yeah, there's only one missed field goal on his record, technically. But we all know. We all saw that one that he missed and it got erased.
And it's not even like he's kicked badly, to be completely honest with you. I mean, you should have the luxury of missing a field goal here or there. It's just that when you come in after his preseason with the background of last season, there's an urgency to get it right.
Yeah.
And there is, understandably, less leash. It's the equivalent of a reliever. A closer is going to blow saves, right? A closer is going to have that inning where he implodes and he gives up three or four runs. It's going to happen, I'd say, three or four times a year for the best. He's going to pitch 75 times. He'll have three or four of those innings. You with me on 100%, that?
100%. Yep, tracking it.
If that happens in the first week of the season and you are Aroldis Chapman or you're Josh Hader and you're going to go back to the All-Star game this year very likely, not a big deal. But if you're a reliever who had a really rough year last year.
If you're Rafael Soriano, everybody knows.
Yeah. And if spring training, the ERA was really high because you had a really tough spring training to the point where people are asking your manager over and over and over again about you as a closer. Hey, last year was a bit of a struggle. He had to get hot down the stretch to keep his gig. We're back now this year, and he's having a rough spring. How do you feel? And then you get off to this start. Like, it's reasonable to be nervous and have anxiety about Hop at this point. I think he was better earlier on in his time here than people give him credit for. In fact, I know he was, but it doesn't matter now.
Right.
What matters is right now, this second, do you think he's going to hit that field goal when he goes out there? Rivera seems to. He has kind of unlimited confidence that he taps into with Hopkins.
Or he's not interested in the alternative for some reason. And that's it's just mind-boggling is all. It's not, again.
Who's out there that, I mean, the problem is when you move on, that unknown is scary.
It is.
I get that.
I do too. I mean, they did it once a few years ago when they got rid of Kai Forbath and, you know, I guess brought in Hopkins, right? But there needs to be a kicker at practice. Like, the next time they get together, there should be a different guy kicking footballs through the uprights. I'm not saying you replace Dustin Hopkins, but you are preaching this one thing that applies all the time. I accept a kicker and accept a quarterback and accept maybe a couple other positions we're not really sure about. I don't get it. It either matters or either things matter or they don't matter. Either we take you at your word and you live up to your word every time, or you've taught us now we don't have to, you don't have to listen to you because you don't live up to your word.
What do you think about this? I remember, I wish I remember which coach it was that told me this a few years ago. But their point was kickers are like baseball players and golfers. Like, they go through these ebbs and flows. There's a volatility that doesn't really exist. Like, as a corner, you're going to have bad plays. But from a technique standpoint or just a result, like, you don't go up and down with your mechanics and everything. And the idea was you have to get through that with kickers to get the good results. Because mm-hmm. Washington was chasing a ghost for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Every time a kicker had a rough patch, like Graham Gano, they'd blow him out of here. And now, 12 years later, Gano's still one of the better kickers in the league. David Akers, I mean, we could play that game over and over.
Of course we could, yeah.
Maybe Rivera knows that, and he's like, I just got to get through this part. And he's going to kick. Because last year he did.
Yeah, it's 2 years now.
But last year, in the second half, he was right. I mean, he made like 14 of his final 15. He was really good down the stretch.
He did. And I guess where I'm going is I could buy slump, but are we now slumping again? How long of a slump do you get before you just go, we can't wait anymore? I mean, if you're, again, I keep going back to this. Last year, I didn't mind as Ron Rivera's not calling timeout when they're trying to come back against Arizona and they were very much in rebuild mode. Sure, let the kicker slump. Who gives a damn? Slump away. Get another Chase Young. Get another draft pick. Who gives a rip? But well, now you're trying to compete and you're trying to win a division and you're trying to go somewhere. You're preaching competition. Compete. Even if you don't replace Dustin Hopkins, bring in another human being. I'll do my dumb field goal bet out there in Ashburn.
You had your chance. You're not going
like,
to.
Whatever. Like,
if,
somebody.
If Rivera calls you tonight and tells you to come out there, you'll say your wife won't let you. That was one of the lines you used.
Well, I do that.
You're too old now.
Well, I am. I can't do it.
You'll get hurt. You play tennis every week.
My thing about it is, yeah, I'm terrible at that too. I'm not as good as Woody Harrelson, who's 60. I mean, I don't understand why people aren't more up in arms about this. It boggles my. Again, I don't care if you replace Dustin Hopkins or not. I need the principle applied that you swore by. I need the thing that you say, this is the law, not except for these huge things that are very high profile. I don't know if you don't have a competition at like backup outside linebacker or a certain special teams thing. I'm not aware of that. Here are the ones I know about. Quarterback and kicker. All the rules apply except for these two massive things that everybody can see. And it drives me insane.
Let's go to Chad in Rockville. Hey, Chad, how are you?
Hey, Chad.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, just one thing. I noticed yesterday when Hopkins missed the kick. Now, I don't know anything from anything, but it looked like the placeholder had the ball leaning to the right, so that when Hopkins kicked it, the ball... I'm not
laughing at you.
The second person said this to us. We can't believe
someone
it.
Someone called us like 20 minutes into the show to say this, and we're laughing because like we joked earlier, like we have no. They were saying their line was like it was like at a 40 degree angle and it should be at 60. Like I have no idea if that angle, because I remember you're right. It leaned to the right, but some kickers like it at certain angles. Like I have no. I'm just not an expert at the angle of the hold and what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you just watching some of the other games, the ball was more upright when the kicker was kicking it. And I just noticed yesterday, seemed like that ball was always leaning to the right.
Second person that said it. I don't know.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Chad. I am going to do some homework and some research, and I will have an answer for everyone tomorrow on if that's
I'll be listening.
All right, good.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Because I can very easily make a couple calls and get that answer. Does he like it at a certain angle? Was it supposed to be at that angle? Did they? Like, I don't know why. Tress Way is the holder.
Yeah.
He knows Dustin Hopkins really well. They've been together for 8 years, 9 years, whatever it is. I guess 7 or 8 years. He had time. He spun it. Laces were out. And then he moves the ball to that angle. Maybe he overdid it a little bit. But also, I'll go back to what we told the first guy. This was not a 54-yarder where every little thing matters. This was an extra point. And that's no longer from the goal line.
And
but
it didn't do a slice thing. That's what I keep coming back to. If the angle is off and that's going to cause problems in the operation, you would think it starts out straight, but because it wasn't hit straight like a golf shot, it's now going to slice. That just started right and went right both times to me. It was just a right. So whether if you're kicking it straight, it would at least start out straight and then slice. Does that make sense? What I'm trying to say, the distinguishing characteristic there of something that like is affected by weather. I know that's a dome, but you've seen those kicks before where it's got kind of a spin on it or something isn't quite true, and you get that hook or you get that slice or the fade, whatever you want to call it. Those just were pushed. It was like a putt that was lined up wrong to me, and maybe that's it. Maybe that's the tilt of the football. I don't know, but people are. That's the second person that said that today to us. I don't know.
It's 33 yards.
Yeah.
I think you just bang that one home. I don't know how much those angles really matter.
So I want to call out a couple positive things if I can.
Go for it.
From yesterday. Number one, I know it's not going to be sexy, but 2 catches for 19 yards for Ricky Seals-Jones. Not having Logan Thomas is a thing. RSJ, if I may, I just kind of threw that out there as a way to do that. He had one really nice play where he caught it in front of the sticks, stopped on a dime, made a couple defenders miss, and lurched forward for Jason Bishop forward for a first down on a big drive for the Washington football team. That was a massive kind of hidden play there to get some production out of the tight end. And then we already touched on it a bit, but I won't echo it. 4 catches for 19 yards for Curtis Samuel does not sound like it was that exciting, but we all know the impact those things had, where he was losing guys close to the line of scrimmage, running some shallow cross stuff. Only one thing he did didn't really work, but the long of 10 yards, but 3 different chain-moving, drive-extending first down plays for Curtis Samuel. 3 of their 4 first downs yesterday. That was huge to have him.
I loved the De'Ami Brown catch before he got hurt. And Adam Humphries had a huge catch.
The 19-yarder as well, I think, right?
19-yarder, broke a tackle along the sideline, got a bunch of real estate on the game-winning drive. And that was a big, big moment. I also think Holcomb runs around, and he's always their leader in tacklers and gets a lot of people to the ground and plays really hard. And I thought that was the case again today. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Let's figure out what we learned before we get out of here on The Fan. Quickly, let me say first, Danny, that tomorrow we're going to have a lot more as it develops on this situation with Ryan Vermilion. We reported it here on The Fan, myself, JP, that he had his home and the facility where his office is in Ashburn raided. He was the head trainer of the Washington football team. They placed him on administrative leave. There was players and people in the organization being called over the last several months looking into him from federal agents and authorities, and the DEA was involved in this. Sounds like a pretty big developing major story out of Ashburn today as Washington's trying to get ready for the Saints. So if more on that develops, we will have it tomorrow. But it is time to figure out what we learned on GND. Driven by your local Honda dealer, race in for a great deal on the Honda of your dreams during the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event. Take advantage of the savings to your local Honda dealer today.
I learned that there are at least a couple of fans out there, if not more, who are really, really observant when it comes to the position of the football on field goal kicks. Separated by 4 hours,
we got
these two
smart
calls
on this show.
I mean, dude, like, I didn't notice that at all. I just
love
noticed
that nuance.
Seriously,
though.
And I'm not joking. I'm really, really impressed by that. I didn't mean to dismiss the first guy or even the second guy, but I'm going, dude, I didn't see that. I don't know. But I'm amazed that people are that honed in on it. Good for you.
My mom just texted me and said, I told you about the angle on his field goal kicks the other day. My mom was the first on the scene on this, for the record.
She had it.
She's mentioned this to me like twice this year. That she keeps noticing that they lean the ball. Again, I don't think they're doing it on accident. Call me crazy. At some point, I'll bet Hopkins and Way had some conversation with how he wanted the ball put
down. He plays a little draw or something?
Tomorrow on the show, we got Ben Lindsay from PFF at 3 o'clock. We're going around the NFL. We should bring back QB Quarter Pounder tomorrow.
Yeah, let's do that
Best, worst performances for quarterbacks in the Jag of the Week.
I have a definitive update on the hot dad situation.
Oh, really?
Definitive.
Are you the hot dad?
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Give me a hint.
It's definitive.
Damn. I want so much more than that. Oh, I hope you're
the
hot dad.
You got to listen tomorrow, Grant.
Plus, Ryan Zimmerman seemed like he said his goodbyes at Nats Park.
Yeah, what a moment, man.
That was pretty amazing. So there's a ton to get to. Make sure you're listening tomorrow. If you missed Terry McLaurin today, he was a 10. A 10, Miss Davis. A 10. Grab the podcast, thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. A lot of great stuff on the site, by the way, with all the breaking news we had at the station. Today, this has been your Victory Monday show presented by Chiniga Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. Nicholas Ashew, the best looking man in all of radio.
Love you, Nick.
As overtime for you next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.